This is the Big Leap College Bound, Episode 8.
Welcome to The Big Leap, the podcast for college-bound teens and their parents, where it's all about getting emotionally ready for college and creating your rich, messy, wonderful life. And now, here's your host, Master Coach Ellen Yale.
Hi, welcome, welcome. I just want to start off by saying how much I love hearing from everyone who writes in to me. Your stories mean so much to me. And I want to thank you for listening, and I want to ask you a favor. I would love it if you would leave me a review of the podcast here on iTunes. The reason I'm asking is if you leave me a review, it will help people like you find this podcast. The more people who review it, the more parents who have teens getting ready to go to college, the more they can find me. So more help for more parents and more teens. And to leave a review, it takes a few clicks, and iTunes certainly did not make it super easy to leave a review, but it's also not rocket science. I'm sure you've navigated a lot of new software on your phone or your computer over your years of using them. The only non-intuitive part to leaving a review is that when you're in iTunes and you have found the Big Leap College Bound podcast, is you click on the artwork with my picture, and then just below the title, you click the word review. It's sort of a tab, it's sort of a button. And then there's a third click. You have to actually click a button to create a review. So it's click, click, click. You can do it from your computer or from your phone. So thanks in advance. This information can really help a lot of people who don't know there's a different way to think. And today I've got a juicy story for you. Recently I was with a group of women who we all had children who just started their freshman year of college. And the chatter was about everything you could imagine. How much stuff the kids took to college with them, how the kids were adjusting to the loneliness, how the parents were adjusting to the loneliness of not having the teen around, and how much they were texting their child. This one in particular, the texting, really interested me because it's so different from when I went to college. There were no cell phones, let alone texting. I remember calling home when I was in college and letting it ring once so my parents would know to call me back because calling collect was so much more expensive than them calling me directly. And we would talk, my parents and I would talk maybe once a month. I had a budget for stamps so I could write them letters and write my friends and family letters. We really didn't have a phone budget. So the process has totally changed. And now it's so different. We contact anyone at any time at one price paid monthly using our phone contracts. We can text, we can call, we can email. And for college, just when we thought snail mail was a thing of the past, that's changed too because it's come all the way back around. It's becoming a really big thing to send care packages. I mean, it's becoming competitive. You've got to send the best care package with the coolest stuff. Or so some people think. It reminds me a lot of when our kids were small and we took them to birthday parties and there was a competition on which birthday kid had the best gift bag. So I thought, at that time, I thought, when did that happen? When did this competition with giving gifts to the people coming start? So same sort of thing is happening here. There are companies that make their living sending thoughtful care packages in your name, and they even have themed care packages. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong to hire someone else to send a care package for you, just that there are new and exciting ways to reach out and try to show our kids we care. So there's a way to do it if you want to do it yourself. There's a way to do it if that's not your thing. Someone else can be hired to do that. Or maybe your thing is to not do it at all. Totally up to you. Each family has its own dynamic. Each child has their own set of needs and maturity. And what I will say is I think you need to talk with your teen about how much contact you both want before they leave home. Find out if they even want a care package. But more importantly, how much they're hoping to hear from home and what the circumstances would be. Communication is primo in this situation. Think about the reasons you want contact with them. If you're trying to save them from failure, consider putting your phone back in your pocket. With my son who's going to college in the fall, I'm considering a system that his preschool used. What they did is when we would drop them off in the drop-off line, The teachers would come and unbuckle them and take them away. We didn't even have to get out of the car, and that was really nice for us. But really what they were doing is the first 2 weeks, you were not allowed to visit your child in the classroom. And there was a lot of temptation, especially if it was their first year of being away from you. You wanted to go in just to peek and check on them. But the problem was, when a parent pops in to see how their child is doing and leaves again, it upsets their kid. The kid starts crying, and that sort of sets a wildfire of crying amongst the entire preschool class. And that happens with each parent that comes. So they set this rule that the first 2 weeks, the parents don't come at all. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad. I also have another preschool right nearby where they let the parents stay as much as they want to the entire year. That's great too. But it's a dynamic that really relates to the separation at college also. I realize that my son will probably forget about me most of the time once I drop him off at college. And when I go to call him, I may be going to call to make sure he feels less homesick, when in actuality, he might have been doing great on his own and my calling triggers the homesick itself. I may be tearing off the Band-Aid for him. So we'll be talking about it and we'll figure out what our game plan is. And more importantly, we can change it at any time we want. But I'm going to let him lead. A friend of mine has a son that just started at Northwestern, and I love her shares on social media, and some of them are about her son. When her son was out visiting the museums in Chicago, he sends her what she calls the proof of life photos. I love that. I told my son I'll be needing occasional proofs of life. And while some kids go to college fully formed, independent individuals who are exploring their newfound freedom, I totally realize that some kids may need a lot of support. I have a friend whose daughter pulled out of school 2 weeks after she started. She had been feeling depressed and hadn't fully processed some bad things that had happened over the summer and all that hubbub of activity and getting ready to go to college at the end. So some support from home helped her figure out what was right for her. And she was able to contact the people at the university she was attending so she could leave on good terms and still have the choice to go back later if she wanted to. She burned no bridges. So to circle back around to the group of women I was talking to that all had freshmen starting in college, there was one conversation that really caught my attention. One mom was talking about her daughter out on her own for the first time. And the mom was worried because that past Sunday morning, she had tried to call and reach her daughter on the cell phone, and her daughter hadn't answered the phone. So she tried to text her daughter, and again, no response. Then she said she had tracked her daughter's phone, and her daughter had spent the night in a boy's dorm. She had tracked her daughter's phone, and her daughter had no idea. And by the way she had talked, I'm guessing her daughter had no idea her mother even had the ability to track her. Now, I've got to admit, this story surprised me, and I'm glad they didn't have cell phone tracking when I was in college. And it brought about the conversation in the group to where these women went while they were in college their parents had no clue about. But what I found really interesting was when I asked this mom what she was going to do with this information that her daughter was in a boy's dorm early on a Saturday morning, she said nothing. She wasn't going to talk to her daughter about it. She wasn't going to do anything with this information but torture herself. So how did it help her to know her daughter was in a boy's dorm? It didn't. It didn't help her at all. This woman was creating the exact opposite of what she was really trying to create in her life. She didn't really want to be a super spy and catch her daughter in bad behavior. Her daughter's a good kid. Her true desire was to try and keep her daughter safe and create an even more loving relationship with her daughter. What she wanted was to feel warm and loving and connected. Instead, she felt suspicious and alarmed. That's not the feeling she truly wanted to have. She was doing the opposite of what she wanted. What she wanted was to feel warm and loving and connected. Instead, she was feeling suspicious and alarmed. That's not the feeling she truly wanted to have. She was doing the opposite of what she actually wanted. I want to be really clear about what I'm saying because we all see the world through the lens of our own past experience and judgments. I'm not saying you should track your child's phone. And I'm also not saying to not track your child's phone. I can't put myself in your shoes. You're the only one who knows what's right for you and in your own life. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, be clear about what you truly want so that your actions match your feeling, so that you create what you really want in your life. This lady was really torn up about this information, but she hadn't tracked her daughter for any reason that was serving her. She was feeling badly not because her daughter's phone was in a boy's dorm on a Saturday. She was feeling badly because of what she thought about her daughter's phone being in a boy's dorm on a Saturday morning. I'm sure there were a whole bunch of scary thoughts that were ricocheting around in her head. But these were all just thoughts. Her fear was not based on facts. And that's easy to prove, because she didn't really know her daughter was even in that dorm. She just knew her phone was there. Maybe someone had borrowed it. Maybe she'd lost it. Maybe she'd gone to an early study group there. All her fears were based on thoughts, not facts. Worry is never caused by circumstances, by facts, because other people may think differently about the very same circumstances. For example, if your child got into Princeton, you might be thrilled. But someone else's child might get into Princeton and their parents are not thrilled at all because they really wanted their child to go to their alma mater. Same circumstances, the kids get into Princeton, but the thoughts about it were different. Only your thoughts cause your stress and worry. And that's really good news, because you can change your thoughts. It's the best news ever, because there are some circumstances you can't do anything about. You can't make other people do things you want them to do. You can't make your kids study if they really don't want to. You can't make a college accept your child. But since it's our thoughts that cause stress, we can use our fabulous brains to think different thoughts. Thoughts that don't cause stress. Thoughts that make us feel good. I know this is a lot to take in at once, because people usually move through the world either assuming that they have control or they don't. They think it's all or nothing. But it's not like that. The only thing we can't control is our circumstance. We can't control what's outside of ourselves. But we can control our own thoughts, feelings, and actions. And that's a lot. What I want you to know is that you have control of your thoughts. It seems like you don't. It seems like thoughts just pop into your head out of nowhere. But managing your thoughts is just a skill you haven't learned. The first step is to be aware of them. The next time you're feeling worried about your teen, stop and notice the facts of the circumstances and your thoughts about those facts. You'll find that the pain always comes from the thoughts. Think about it. I couldn't resist. Have a great week. That's all for now. And thanks again in advance for leaving me the review in iTunes.
Thanks for listening to the Big Leap Podcast. We'd love it if you would go over to iTunes and leave a review. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the show, please visit www.ellenyale.com.